Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the Cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots. That sexy saxophone means it's time again for the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I rarely point out the saxophone, but I felt like it was appropriate, being that this is the 100th episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, welcoming you back. And holy crap, can you believe it's been 100 episodes of this show? I can't. It feels like it was only yesterday that I started the show, and we've been doing it now for 100 episodes. And I have a very special episode for you guys this week. And I hope my throat gets through it. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice a little bit. I'm a little bit hoarse. I've got a little bit of a sore throat going on. But don't worry. I don't think you can get COVID through the microphone, through the internet. I don't even know if I have COVID, but if I do, I apologize. But I don't think you're going to get it. But it's a very special episode this week because I have two awesome guests with me for the first time on this show. And let's just go ahead and introduce them. The first guest is my source for YouTube's information about Cyberpunk and Fallout, a guy who's been killing it with his YouTube channel over the last few years, Juicehead. Juicehead, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Very happy to be here.
I like to call you Mr. Head. Is that still okay? Yes.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly allowed.
Awesome.
Perfectly permitted.
Awesome. Yeah, man, you've been focusing a lot on Cyberpunk news and Fallout news over the last... Cyberpunk news over the last year or two since we've been getting
13 months.
So thank you for joining my show and being on here. And I'm excited to get some of your input and some of your thoughts on this, because I know you've been thinking about the game a lot in the last year you know, digging into the news and what's coming. So we're going to get into that. But I have another guest here, a guy who I think is one of the funniest people on YouTube, super entertaining. And he's somebody who's always just going to tell you exactly how it is. He's a straight shooter. Yeah, my throat is definitely messing me up today. Kev DeWitt is on the show. Kev, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for shoot straighting and. So you're a fan of the game as well. I know that you recently went back and took a look at the game after a year of it being out and gave some thoughts on it as well. You did a video about that. So guys, let's kick this off, because I want to hear your opinions about this game and where it's come in the last year, the community, the feelings about the community, the feelings about the game, and where you think it's going. But let's take this one piece at a time. This game launched just over a year ago, and we all know it was a mess. It was a mess. They did an amazing job marketing a game that didn't actually come out, right? No. They said, like, hey, it's going to have all this stuff in it, or at least led us to believe that. And then the thing that actually shipped barely ran on some of the consoles. It got banned from the PlayStation Store. And unless you had like a high-end PC or one of the new Xboxes or whatever, you basically had a very difficult time playing it. And there were a lot of things that were missing. What were your initial feelings when the game launched? Who wants to go first? Well, let's start with Juice.
I remember, because I immediately remember going through, and I think, Kev, you went through this too, with the whole, there was like that review code debacle I remember they like were handing out review codes, and they're like, I don't know, it wasn't confirmed I was getting a review code, but then it was like the game was like coming out in like 48 hours and there were still no review codes. And then there was like the whole thing, remember, they a bunch of outlets published reviews and they got like early review codes, but they couldn't show gameplay then. And then I remember I got my review code for Cyberpunk, I want to say it was like 16 hours before the game went live or something. And I was like, all right, plenty of time. I'm not reviewing.
Plenty of time to review a game, right? Yeah, especially a game this big.
I remember that alone was like, all right, this is not a good sign. Like, this is a disastrous first step for the company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and that review code, correct me if I'm wrong, but was from an even earlier version of the game than the one that launched?
If I can butt in, there were codes before the codes mm-hmm. that Juice and I got. Actually, I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago about this. They actually played the earlier build and okay. they said it was a different game. They said they did not play the same game that came out.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, maybe that's what I had heard. Yeah, is that yeah. like some of the early ones that went out were actually very, very different or very early builds that were significant. A lot of things that were in those actually got stripped out.
Yep.
Yeah, that was like, wasn't there like an on-disk version? Like if you yes. didn't connect your PlayStation yeah. to the internet or something, then you'd have like, wasn't it like street vendors were in the inspecting objects were in the game, but then in like the live version, that's not a thing or something like that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you remember doing your reviews for this when it came out?
I didn't really. Like I just kind of talked about stuff as it evolved. Like I didn't do like, even still, I really haven't done like a dedicated review really.
Right.
Of it.
Right. But what was your initial opinion though? How did you feel
when you actually got to play it? I still vividly remember the first like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes. There was like bugs everywhere, like stupid bugs, but it was like a bunch of dudes. I did like, I think it was the Corpo start, and there was a bunch of dudes in the bathroom and they were like smoking cigarettes and they walked away and the cigarettes were just there floating. And it was like all a bunch of like stupid little bugs. I was like, oh God, this is not off to a great start. But yeah, there's a lot of like bugs that first time. And then like the thing with like Jackie, instead of pulling the chip out of his head, it was like a gun or something like in the intro, I remember. And then there's a bunch of memes about that. But yeah, a lot of dumb bugs on that first day, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Kev, do you have any funny memories from the beginning?
Oh, dude, it just flows. Cause I didn't do an actual review until I played it for about 100 hours. Cause I knew it was going to be extensive, but man, I remember cause actually I jumped into Juice's stream the day that the game was launching actually yeah. that day. And I jumped in and I'm like, did you get your copy? Cause I was emailing back and forth with these guys and they're like, oh, it'll be there soon. It'll be there soon. I think I got my review copy about half an hour before the game actually launched. So it was plenty of time to to capitalize, but it was, I remember in the same mission where, you know, when Jackie, the chip and everything, there's an elevator at going down to the parkade. And I remember going into the elevator and things just started happening. There was a guy that like spawned in the elevator and then just started bouncing from like ceiling to floor. And I was like standing back. It was hitting Jackie. Jackie was all over the place. This guy's body parts, because the gore in the game is crazy, they're just exploding and it's just gore all over. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah,
yeah. It was terrifying. But yeah, that was like, it was good.
It was good times. I had a similar situation in an elevator where I had triggered the enemies and I guess it was the security of the building was coming after me. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the elevator to try to get away in order to go in the elevator and go up to a different floor. And the enemies, instead of coming down in the elevator opened up and there was like the elevator car was there for me to get into. But the enemies just started spawning in the elevator. Like over and over and over and over again. So it became a meat grinder of me just shooting the enemies as they spawned and just dead bodies piling and piling and piling until eventually the game just crashed because there was just too much geometry and crap. Yeah, it was.
That's funny.
It was a mess. But yeah. Okay, yeah. So that was the initial game. Were you guys able to get through the playthrough? Did you come across any game-breaking bugs? Did you have to start over?
Couple quests I couldn't finish. Who was it for Johnny's date? You had to go back to the afterlife to get ready for the date, and the characters were all standing there, and you get out, and I tried to talk to them, and they'd be like, "Well, I mean, you know, I'm ready to go," and then I'm like, "All right, let's get in my car," and they just stand there, and so I actually never progressed, which means I never met any of the characters in the Johnny Hand storyline. I never did any of that, and so there's a couple of quest lines that weren't essential to completing the game mm-hmm. that I couldn't actually get through.
Yeah, but the main quest line you were able to finish.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any. Like, I had like a bunch of dumb bugs. But like on my actual playthrough, I don't think, because I'm trying to remember, I remember like covering it, like other people having issues, but like I don't think I actually had those issues.
Yeah.
Well, but like, because I remember there was like a few quests early on, especially like I know tons of people had issues with the Delamain quest where like one of the calves, like it just wouldn't register. But I don't think I actually had that. That was just something other people had. And I remember like covering a video of it or something, but I was mostly okay bug wise, or at least game breaking bug wise early on.
Right. Right. And you guys play what systems did you play it on?
PC.
I played on PC.
All on PC. Yeah, that's probably
why. To his 30 minute earlier review code, it was only available on the review codes were only PC.
Wow. So what was your experience with the game over the last year? Did you jump back in after certain patches? Did you give it another playthrough? How long did it like take you to play through it again? Did you try the other experiences out with the different starting life paths? How did, as a game player, not necessarily a content creator, how did you end up engaging with the game?
I've officially, as of a couple of days ago, beat the game 5 times. A couple of them speed runs where I just didn't care and I just broke the game and like I exploited and then just to see if everything was still a problem. And the last one, which was kind of for my year and 1 year later video, just to show people where it's at right now. Mm-hmm. It was definitely, it's funny because they had their big updates, but every update they release just breaks the games another way. So I found that even playing through it again, there's so many things I was having to restart my game and do stuff. And it was still a bit painful, but I could actually 100% complete at that time. So,
yeah. Now I only ever did one proper playthrough. And then I have a bunch where I played a quarter of the game or a half of the game. And then I'll download someone else's save game to do one of the different endings so I could try out the different endings. Mm-hmm. But I did one full and proper playthrough. And I did half a playthrough on an Xbox. Mm-hmm. That was brutal and was 25 FPS a third of the time. But yeah, no, I've only, but over the past year, I've just been messing with mods and I haven't sat down and done a complete additional playthrough, but I would load up ones towards the end of the game, redo an ending or do middle early. I have all different saves I'll mess around in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. Whenever I try to start out a new game, the hardest part for me is getting through the cutscenes and some of the dialogue stuff that slows it down.
Yeah.
Because it's I know what this guy's going to say. I know what this scene is. And, you know, that's the part where one of the things I'm hoping for, and we'll get to this on the second half of the show, is for a new game plus where you can just kind of skip over that stuff because we know the story. Just let me live in the world a little bit. Let me just go do some things and shoot things and collect some guns and maybe try a higher difficulty or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to skip that stuff. So speaking of the gameplay and the story aspects of the game, let's get into the gaminess of it. What things did you enjoy the most about Cyberpunk 2077? Where do you feel like it really holds up as a game? Do you feel like there's things that they really did well?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the city is pretty much unparalleled. I can't think of another game with a city environment that is as good as Night City. There's issue, there's a bunch of doors you can't go in, et cetera, et cetera. But even with its faults, I feel like the city is because there's a lot of games that try and do a city or have a pseudo city, but Night City, when you are in the middle of it, it really feels like you're in a legit city right now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty special.
The cars too. I don't know why, but I just took a liking to look at the cars in the past year, and the detail, it just feels unlike anything almost else in the entire game. The guns are very well detailed as well, but when you sit into a car in that game, it's unreal how much it feels like a car, but a car that is 50 years in the future, and you're dang, it looks good, it feels good, the detail. I actually tried it out in VR, and I could really look at those cars, and I'm like, The amount of detail and, the windows and everything, just unreal detail in the cars and stuff. And the driving is not as good, but the cars are really fun.
Yeah, it's cool when you sit in a car in real life, when you sit in an electric vehicle, like a Tesla or something, and you get in it, and it feels like it's a cockpit, like it's a spaceship or something. And those have that kind of feeling to it. You know, you sit in it, and especially when you can't see out the windows, and all of a sudden they go, and they just clear up, like that kind of stuff. Or there's not actually a steering wheel, you know, like that kind of thing. And to your point of the city, there's one of the things that always strikes me, especially when I take time off from the game and I'm playing some other stuff and then I come back and jump in, is there's a mood, there's like a vibe to the world. And it's not just the music and it's not just the art, but it's even, it even happens when you're just driving around the city. There's this, this feeling that they nail. And it's not, it's hard, something that's very hard to put in words, because it's not like saying, it's like driving around in Blade Runner, because it's not. But Night City is different. Night City is not Blade Runner in a video game. It's not. It's not any specific movie in a video game. It is unique to itself. It is specifically Cyberpunk 2077, Night City. But there's this vibe, and there's something very cool about it, even though you're still like wearing whatever the best gear is you can find and none of it matches and you look like a trash hobo from the future. Like, there's still something that's just super slick and cool, and it just feels good regardless of any of the bugs.
And like, I feel like it does a pretty good job at least on PC, because I guess there actually is a bunch of NPCs walking around and a bunch of cars. But like, when you're in like a dumpier area per se, like you could tell, or like when you're in a bougier area, like you could just kind of like it's almost like all of the aesthetics around you change, which is really well. It almost reminds me of like in Fallout 76, the different segments of Appalachia, where like you're not going to confuse the mire with the forest. Like, they have completely different vibes. It's not as exaggerated in Night City, but you could the different districts, you could really tell the difference, whether it be like how urban it is or who's around you and that stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Pacifica doesn't feel like one of the others. Like, they all very specifically feel like their own area.
What about the Badlands? What do you think about the Badlands?
It's interesting. I don't know. It's my least favorite of the areas. It's just kind of there. I don't know.
I always try to drive through sections of the Badlands where there's lots of rocks and things, and then I'm always like, screw it, I'm getting my motorcycle out and I'm going to use that instead. What do you feel about the Badlands?
I don't know what it is, but I just did not like it. I felt like they just, if you go from like this amazing city that's just like, this is unreal, to this area of the map that feels like you can't go like two miles and see anything. And there is culture out there. Like, the characters are like the different segments of the city, but it feels like it's like over half the map is out there, but it's just the same stretch. And, you know, you look at the road and you see all those like cars that are like paper. I was like, oh boy. I don't know. I felt like it was just, I guess it is supposed to kind of be LA based a bit with the whole desert off to the side, but I just felt, man, you go into the city and there's that, in the nice part of the city downtown, there's that almost that jungle, down, it's sunk into the city with ponds. I'm like, man, the trees and the textures and stuff they put in there, it felt like there's so much. You hit the Badlands, it's just nothing.
I totally get it. And it doesn't help that, like you're saying, in the distance you can see cars that don't actually exist. And they're just like the 2D sprites of like lights moving at a distance, and then you get close to them and there's nothing there.
Like, I was looking at that today as I was filming a video, and like, I was like, if the game didn't have like the built-in zoom that you could easily do, it wouldn't be a huge issue, because it was like, if you're not zoomed in, you can't really tell. But then like, always I'd be like, oh, look at that car, and I'd zoom in, I'm like, oh, that's like a paper cutout. It's like he just disappears as he gets closer to me. It's like, oh yeah, it looks pretty bad. But
So what other aspects of the game do you think they did well? How do you feel about, say, the story? Do you think the story holds up?
I was talking about this a bit more, because after I was playing through it again, I really noticed how much of a difference the game was after, you know, you go through the whole Jackie sequence. Then Johnny comes in, and it's weird because the game gives off. It's almost like a Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3 vibe. You go from the beginning in Mass Effect 2, you have all these choices. You can say whatever you want, do whatever you want, and because it's going to impact the third game. But once you get out of that sequence and you start getting into the Johnny stuff, it feels like none of your choices matter. You can, like, a couple here and there will, like, you know, you can dictate if somebody lives or dies, try to convince somebody of something, but it doesn't end to any real avail. It doesn't change anything. It's just like, instead of them dying, you know, they lived or whatever. And that's it. It's just kind of end of story. That's it. There's nothing to add to it. Right.
Yeah.
Or is good otherwise.
Yeah. I like completely agree. Like I've had the same issues where, like, even I remember when I first did my live stream, I was trying to do like an evil playthrough. And like, as I got into like the game, I was like, that's just like not a thing. Like there is not really, you could like be more of a mean person in dialogue, but it's like the exact same outcome. There's no like I remember earlier I wanted to kill not Johnny. I wanted to kill Jackie and like just take the chip for myself. And I was like, that would be cool, but you can't do anything like that. Like you basically always have to partner up with Jackie, feel bad after he dies, and then meet up with like those major story notes. You always have to go through in a very similar way. You just might say slightly different things along the way.
Yeah. Well, from a developer who made games like The Witcher 3, it's kind of on track with that. Like in The Witcher 3, you can't really deviate too far from Geralt's basic personality. Now the ending can be better or worse, but it's still the same ending overall. I mean, different things happen with different characters, but you still go, like, you're like, to your point, you still go through the same story beats. You can't just all of a sudden choose to kill Ciri. Like,
Well, I feel like a lot of that, what opinions fly around the whole choice thing is when they were talking about the game, because I actually went back and rewatched all the trailers again to see, okay, what exactly did they say this game was going to be? And you know, you have the whole, you know, Oblivion NPCs. They were all supposed to be on a schedule, but nobody is. They just walk around in circles. And I think the big one was that the game was supposed to have a very malleable story. It was supposed to be, you know, you were supposed to influence it as a character. You're supposed to make Night City feel like it was your own. They always said, you know, burn the city down, all that. It's like, no, you end the game one of, you know, four routes and then you head on out of there.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah. And even I feel like on like the side quests, it's a thing, which I think that was almost where it was more disappointing. Like the main story, all right, whatever. You have like the major story beats you have to hit. But then like these side characters, like, I don't know. Even like I think of like probably one of the most popular side quests is like the Perilez quest, where you like are investigating what's going on with that guy. I think he's running for mayor and the couple. It's like, I've done it like three or four times and I've tried all the different choices and it's kind of exactly the same every time. They always end up mad at you and you get the angry text at the end. And like, I don't know. On like some of those side experiences, the linearity was almost felt more and a bit more disappointing.
Do you think that this is an inherent problem with pre-built voiced protagonists in games? And I know you guys have a lot of experience, and this calls to other examples. The differences between, say, Fallout 3 and New Vegas and Fallout 4, or something like Skyrim and, you know, something like The Witcher. You have, in one example, you have a non-voiced protagonist and a character that you make from scratch. And that character is anything you want it to be, and you can make whatever choices you want. And if you go back to like even older Bethesda games, things like Morrowind, oftentimes you can even kill like critical NPCs and completely cut out whole sections of the game that you'll never ever get to see. And you have all of this freedom, which they try to limit you with more now because they realize that that's frustrating if somebody doesn't realize that they just, you know, eliminated 20% of the game that they'll never ever get to see. But then you have the more recent, say, Bethesda game, something like Fallout 4, where you have a voice protagonist, and for the most part, you kind of have to go on there's certain endings, and there's certain paths, and you're much more limited.
But even Fallout 4, like, you can kill everyone but the Minutemen, like, immediately. like you could just shoot Dance on site. You could kill Father as soon as you meet him. You could destroy the railroad. It's like my one of my most viewed videos is doing that actually.
But
I mean, where like in Cyberpunk there, like I think that was a big thing to me. Like I just wanted to like kill people. I don't know. I was trying to go for like a masochist.
Just burn the city down.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like I wanted to just be like a horrible person. And I like didn't really have an outlet to do that, which I don't know if that's, it's not like a bad game. Like it's not, it's still a fun, interesting, compelling story, interesting city. And I don't know if it's just like, because I typically cover Bethesda games that I had that expectation or hope, or I think partially the marketing of the game led me towards that expectation or hope where I don't think it like delivered, but it's still an enjoyable game even without that. It just, for me, that's like one of the big things that I feel like it was lacking from a story perspective, at least.
Yeah. Well, and when you do like, when you do bring it up, because there are some voiced, you know, games, like I, once again, I bring up Mass Effect where it's all in the tone of how they present what's going on and what you're saying. Right. So like, you know, my wife and I are playing through the Mass Effect, but we're being a pretty nice person. And even when they talk to other people, they convey that kind, even though Shepard is a bit more gruff around the edges, they do show that, that nice, you can see that nice side of them. And then when you're a psychopath, you're a psychopath and everyone hates you, and you very much so, you know, convey that. And that's where Cyberpunk felt weird, because your character, don't get me wrong, I loved V. I loved all that, like the characters in the game were very well done, the stories were fantastic, but V comes across as naturally very almost passively aggressive constantly, no matter what you say. So there were so many lines of dialogue where I'm like, oh, this one. And then my character's like, screw you. I'm like, that's not what I meant. No, please. Like, so it's like, it's the conveying of, you know, the voice and stuff, I feel like is a big, and that's what Fallout 4 also did well. You can kind of hear it in the voice of a nice guy versus not such a nice guy.
Right. Know? No, that's a good point. That's a good point. It does feel like it's a little bit more walled. A little bit more limited.
Which is not like a inherently a horrible thing though, because feel like Cyberpunk probably has some of the most memorable characters of any game I've ever played, like on that front from the story, like and like I feel like it did a super good job at like I actually got to like know those people, like they're like people I knew throughout the story, where a lot of games I think struggle with that, or they're just like a character. But in Cyberpunk, there's people like you feel strongly about them one way or another after like the quest or whatever.
You text them, you know?
Yeah, literally.
Do you think that's a trade-off? Is that because it's a little bit more walled, they are able to build out the characters a little bit more fully?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say
So V isn't who you want him or her to be. Like she's, or she or he is much more a character that you are playing with a couple of options.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you're just kind of nudging V along.
Yeah.
But V is still V, regardless of what you choose. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. So before we get to the mid show, one last thing. How do you feel about the combat? Because in general, it starts off fairly balanced, but of course, everybody knows it's pretty broken. It gets really easy very quickly for anybody. Let me put some caveats around this. For anybody who's played shooting games or combat games in general, once you get up a few levels, you've min-maxed your character a little bit, and if you're playing on normal, you start just, you know, capping dudes in the head and lopping heads off fairly quickly. Yeah. Is that, did you guys feel like you had that same experience?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do? Did you just go with it? Did you raise the difficulty level? How did you deal with that?
I couldn't raise it any higher.
No.
It was, they've made it more difficult now. Like I noticed when I went back in, the enemies play much more aggressively. So you need to as well, but there's still builds out there that just, they're just nasty.
Yeah. I've modded the game and like played with a lot of mods. Which, like, because it's the same thing with like Fallout 4, and I think most games like this in general. I love the like the high stakes gameplay where it's like I'll die in like 3 shots, but every enemy dies in like 2-3, like basically anti bullet sponge. And like that, I've tweaked and played around with that somewhat in Cyberpunk, and I want to do like the next playthrough, probably after the next big update, I want to do a full playthrough on that. But that I think is a ton of fun, and it like totally turns the balance on its head, because basically everything's relevant, but then everything's relevant against you also.
Yeah.
But on my first playthrough, yeah, I mean, it's like once you hit mid game, you're just like, all right, whatever you picked is just really good,
right? So strong.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You basically don't have to worry. You just kind of can march into any situation. Just like you're the Terminator at that point.
It's fun. Yeah. It is fun, but yeah, it's just easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. And then there's like some enemies that just like, which I like made a video. It's like actually from a guy did like a 78 page report. Well, he made a bunch of mods and he did a 78 page report. He released it a couple months ago on like all kinds of stuff that he discovered that are interesting or broken, et cetera, in the game. And like one of the things he found was there are just some enemies that basically deal no damage to you. And like, then I was like looking for it today, and you'll notice like, all right, in this group of, I forgot, I think it was like Valentinos I was fighting, the dudes with the shotguns could stand next to them on the hardest difficulty and like they could not touch me. Meanwhile, the dude with the SMG, three shots from the SMG, 80% of my health was gone. But it was like that was an interesting thing balance wise and they have like a lot of that throughout the game where it's like certain enemy types were just irrelevant where other ones were like super strong all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's like the math
disappear, right?
It's like the math is totally messed up in the way it calculates damage.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing just needs to be revamped. And there are some mods out there that try to rebalance that. I've definitely taken a look at some of those. I've had the same experience and it's just like, just fine. I'm just going to kill everybody. It's fine. I'm not playing this because it's, you know, Call of Duty or something. I'm playing because it's Cyberpunk. But it would be cool to have a more balanced experience. One of the things I did early on when it came out is I put out a few different build videos. Because, you know, I dabble in videos too. I mostly do podcasts, but I dabble in videos. And the videos did really well, but didn't take me very long to realize that, like, you don't really need build videos for this game.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter that much. So they became more focused on, like just building out a character for roleplay reasons than for min-maxing damage reasons. So I have like a Genji build, you know, like if you want to make Overwatch's Genji in, because he's kind of cyberpunk, you know, so here's what I would do, that kind of thing. But that was
I feel like it does do a good job of like the tools at your disposal for combat in cyberpunk, super fun. The different cyberware, quick hack, or like chaining quick hacks to using cyberware to then switching to a melee. Like there's a lot of fun you could just have in like the sandbox style of like killing people. Great time.
I can imagine a much more balanced version where relying on knowing what skills you have and using them at the right time would feel really good, because you're going up against a squad of like five dudes and you know that those five guys are going to be, you know, difficult an actual challenge, and you're going, okay, if I quick hack that one, I sneak up on that one, I snipe that one in the head, and then I bounce some bullets off this thing, maybe I can take those four guys out and I just have to deal with this one guy right here, you know, or whatever. That sounds cool, and I think that's probably more what they were going for, but they just never really hit the balance.
Like that game would be so much slower, which I think would be fun, where like versus now you kind of just like you're hopping around with your double jump and then pickaxing, like doing 360 headshots on people.
Pausing time every 2 seconds and getting behind everybody.
Well, tell you what, think about what things both you're expecting, because there's been a lot of rumors out there about what's coming in this next patch, which who knows, it might be only a few weeks out. We don't know. Unless you guys know something I don't, but you probably can't tell us if you do. And what things you're hoping they're going to be doing for this game and for the franchise moving forward. So be thinking about that while we take a break, and I've got to thank our patrons. So we'll be right back. All right, so here we are in the middle of the show, and I get to thank our patrons, specifically all 19 of you. We've got 19 patrons right now, and let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of you who are tier 4 patrons, which means you guys can join me coming up on the 30th, so that's just a week and a half away from this recording, in order to join us for the patron chat episode at the end of the month. So the 30th, that's a Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So thank you again to all of our patrons. And if we've if I've done anything on the show to help you get through your workday, your workout, your drive to work, or taking your dog to the vet because, you know, dogs need to go to the vet and one dog keeps on licking the weird bump on her leg and it's weirding you out because it's kind of like a mole, but it's not a mole. It's gross. And if you listen to podcasts while doing that, then go to patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast and maybe you'll find a tier with stuff that you like and you can help support the show, including the bottom tiers, which get you ad-free episodes, or tiers like tier 4, where you can join us on future episodes of the show and even get t-shirts, which are already going out to our patrons. And I would love to see pictures if you guys got your t-shirts in. I know some of you have, so I'd love to see your shirts. If you want to send us some pictures, you can post them on the Robots Radio Discord. I'd love to see that. And also, let's see, do we have a new review? I didn't pull this up. I was so excited to talk to these guys. I didn't actually pull it up. I don't think we have any new reviews. Nope, no new reviews right now. But if you want to help us out and leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, 5-star ratings and reviews will be read out on future episodes of the show. And a reminder that Spotify now has the ability to leave ratings as well. You just got to scroll to the top and look underneath the name and the description, and you'll see a little section there where you can leave a little 5-star review. And we'd really appreciate that because all of that stuff helps push out the show to other people who might be interested in listening to the show. So thanks again to everybody, and thank you especially to our patrons. You help us make sure that this is a priority and that we continue doing the show, and I really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. All right, guys, we're back, and man, I'm excited for whatever's coming. I don't know what this patch is going to hold. It has been, 5 months? It will be maybe 5 months since the last big patch?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, last big one's end of August.
Oh, yeah. More than that. It might
so
be
technically the last,
six,
the
seven
last
months?
Patch at all was September, but the last major patch August.
Yeah, so this is a lot of work. I know that, so a few things. I know that they've been gearing up. They've been hiring for the studio. They've replaced some individuals there. They've hired some of the modders to work on the stuff. They've been very quiet about what they're actually working on. We know that there's DLC coming. We know that they've pushed back the upgrades for the new systems, the new consoles. So there's some stuff we can expect,
like, and if they change the name because 5 is more impressive than 4 apparently.
Oh, way more.
Yeah, can't be right. Patch 1.4
patch, yeah,
that's dumb.
1.5, they skipped a 0.4, right?
Yeah,
kind of like, which, Windows 8 going to Windows 10, right? Yeah. There was no 9. Right, so what do you think this patch is going to do? I know there's rumors out there. Do you think the rumors are true? Because I, for anybody who doesn't know what the rumors are, we're not going to recap them now. I did that on a previous episode. I know you guys have talked about the rumors, but do you think there's any credibility to the rumors that have been out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think we're getting, you think we're getting things like hair salons and the ability to transmog stuff and
stuff like that.
Probably.
Okay. Are there some of those rumors you think are more credible than others? Like, what do you think we'll definitely get?
Well, I feel like when it comes to stuff like, you know, hair salon transmogs, I would like to think those are just givens, because those are probably the most vocal things of updates that anybody's wanted. And everybody asked for it the entire last year, right? And it just never came. And I feel like a lot of people, like, you know, that you've got so many people that want those little details to just make their experience, because what Cyberpunk is at the end of the day is a very self-made experience. Even if you're in first person, you want to look the part. You want the cool jacket with the beams around the side, and you want to not, you know, sport pink motorcycle pants all the time.
Right. It looked like you're wearing a trash bag.
Yeah.
One of the things I've said regularly on the show is that so many people talk about wanting to feel like they're living in that world. They want to live in the city. They want to play their character and role play like they live in the city.
Yeah.
And anything that they can add to this game to let people do that is going to make the community a lot happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also just seems like transmog or like a hair salon is such an not that it's easy necessarily from a developer. It's not particularly difficult. Like what you have to add in a storefront that opens up the character editor menu that's already in the game. Like, right. And then you get like what 100 headlines, like CDPR finally adds character customization or whatever into Cyberpunk. So right.
Comparatively, like
yeah, yeah. You
know, as a non-developer, comparatively yeah. adding that to a game rather than creating like a whole new section or whole new quest with voiced protagonists, like the level of development for each of those things is considerably different.
Yeah, it's like a low-hanging fruit there that they could easily yeah. or relatively easily knock out, or at least I hope they do. I mean, yeah, if we don't even get that, I don't know. Yeah, rough yeah. sign.
Right.
Well, like, and well, they're teasing so many things on top of that, though, too, that like the one mod that really took my attention was you could work for a trucking company and you went to the place, you bought your truck, you could upgrade it. It was actually unreal. And then you'd go do jobs around town and you could tow vehicles that were whatever. And I remember seeing that mod and being like, wow, this has no place in like the Cyberpunk world that they made, but it fits so well. It's just, it's like you go to your shift at McDonald's, you're just making yeah. money. Right. And I really enjoyed that. And somebody, there was a rumor out there that was talking about, there would be something similar to that coming, a part-time job you could pick up. Like what? That's not shooting people, but it sounds so fun. So I'm hoping stuff like that, you know, the fishing to Skyrim, you know,
yeah,
just that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. The living in the world stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
The things you
yeah.
would do if you're living in the world, that doesn't just include shooting baddies, you know?
Yeah.
What about like customizing your apartment or buying a different apartment?
Yes.
Or cars with a garage. Like, why not yeah. have a place where you can showcase the things that you own?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But I feel like they could do apartment skins. Like, that'd be an easy... Like, I don't... Yeah. Like, you're buying a different look for your apartment. I mean, there's a ton of mods that do that already. And they're really popular mods, which, based on the fact that they hired modders, they're probably aware of what mods are popular also. Mm-hmm. So, it seems like another one that's like... Yeah, you know, it's not the most difficult thing for them to add. It's not like a fundamentally new feature, just a different look for your apartment.
Right. Yeah, you know. I agree. Now, one of the big controversial things has been the whole, well, the police don't chase you thing some of the responses to that. And then the whole system with the gangs and this idea that like the gangs don't necessarily remember you or you can't really... you know, raise or lower your status with the different gangs based on the missions that you've done or who you've killed. Mm-hmm. What do you think about those? Do you think those will be a thing at some point?
They briefly talked about in one of the rumors, obviously it's all up in the air right now, with Pacifica, a large portion of Pacifica, the stadium out back where it's like inaccessible map right now, potentially becoming a gang war between a couple yeah. different factions that you could yeah. raise and lower your reputation. And like that's good. I feel like in the way that they were describing it though, it's going to section itself off into this own little area. And I feel like that might not be as, because then it's going to feel like its own little mini game almost. And it's not really going to have any outside world, you know, consequences. I'd assume not. It might, but something like that, if they would need to make it worldwide and have the cops potentially be a part of that, because I feel like the cops, you know, I went back and, you know, I was playing Saints Row, I was playing Sleeping Dogs, and games where the cops chase you, they hit different. They just, yeah. It just no, feels they do. Good.
Yeah. Well, it makes you more careful yeah. about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you feel like, oh crap, I got to be careful, because when you can just dodge around two corners and then you're done, you're fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like there's any real stakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like cops plus vehicles also like solves several issues, or like, because like not only do people want like car chases, because like why not, I would love to be chased throughout, and like, and they have to take out, though, if they add that, they have to remove those stupid turrets that like blow your car up in two hits, because like
4-star is just, it's just death.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that has gotten me so many times. But yeah, adding in police that can chase you, but then also like that seems like the solution to like how they just spawn in the distance. Like instead they could just drive up,
roll up.
Like would be make infinitely more sense and fit right in. And then if you get in your car, they could hopefully get back in their car and chase you away.
Here's the thing, and again, I'm not a developer. I don't work for a video game company. I've worked in and around technology stuff, and I've worked for a company that worked tangentially, like connected to video game developers, where I've even like managed projects back and forth with game developers before. But again, I'm not a game developer. If I were in their shoes and this was something I really wanted to do, this isn't a problem that other companies haven't solved before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There are game developers out there, companies, and even just individuals who have worked on systems like this that are able to be hired to like, if they really wanted to do this and they feel like this is something that the community would really like and would benefit them, they could hire the people or a team to do it and implement it in the game. And I know that that's a complicated thing and they have to work it into the engine and they have to make sure that it all works and they have to make sure that the code base isn't going to break. And I know there's 100 other things they have to look at, but it's not an impossible thing.
Yeah. And the one thing I do wonder is, like, because like they've taken this basically gone dark for 4 or 5, maybe 6 months when the update actually does come out. And like they were releasing the patches pretty slowly and there wasn't necessarily a ton of content before, where like, I wonder if they actually got to this stuff. Like, I wonder if it's just going to be like a bug fixing update, but the new content's just like the next gen version and a couple of free DLCs. Like, I wonder if the police AI stuff is in this yet, or is that like an end of 2022 thing?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. And that was kind of the feeling I had when this came out. So, I don't know, in such an unprepared state. And then all of a sudden it seemed like every time they were working on things, other things were breaking. That is an example of a code base that is like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Like every time they go to change anything, and Kev said it himself like a little bit ago, that every time they change anything, they break something else.
Yeah.
And they do not have a solid foundation. Like a game that has a really solid foundation is something like Fortnite, because a lot of the people working on Fortnite are also probably directly connected to the team that made the Unreal Engine. And that code base is very solid. They can take anything and add it into that code base and very easily, seemingly, and I know they've got a big team, but very easily work in new concepts and new functions into that code base, and it seems to work and it doesn't really break too much, and they're able to implement stuff very, very fast. Like a new movie comes out and they're like, oh, that's a good idea, let's make that a thing in the game, and they just make it happen because the code base is so solid. And this game, it just seemed like from the very beginning that they, like, the development team never got to a place where they had a very solid code base. It's like the whole thing was just like a rickety foundation. And the feeling I've gotten is that they've been firming up that foundation for the last year, and we can't see that. That's all underground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so anything that we're going to actually get, it's going to be very hard for them to explain that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how do you tell somebody who's wanting, you know, a garage and, you know, new hairstyles and or the ability to change stuff or cops to chase you, I'm sorry, we can't get you that stuff right now, when it seems pretty easy to us, because they've had to spend the last, again, 6 months now still firming up the underneath stuff just so that they can have that stuff on top, because they know as soon as they have that stuff on top, everything else just crumbles down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It yeah, just, no, definitely.
It's a dilemma.
It's almost like similar to the whole like Bethesda needs a new engine argument.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, just like people are just like, oh yeah, just get a new engine.
Just get a new engine.
Yeah. Right. Like, well, yeah, right. That's like a big thing. Like, yeah.
Like a couple dollars.
Well, it's part of why 76 took, what, 2-3 years for them to get to the place where it's as stable as it is now, for them to start actually adding stuff on top of it. It's because it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, and it was, 76 was actually surprisingly ambitious. To be built on what, you know, current engine they had. And I feel like a lot of people, they don't see that, because they see the problem, they say it needs a new engine. Whereas they did something like 76, like at the launch, it was atrocious. And people, you know, saw that immediately, it's the engine's fault. And the fact is, 3 years later, the game runs fine on what they had. It's not an engine thing. It's the groundwork that where the game is built off of. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. It takes time to get an engine firm enough to create that foundation to build other stuff on top of. And this is something I've been trying to inform people about as well. It's the Ship of Theseus thing, or imagine a car. Imagine you get a vintage car and you slowly replace all the different parts of the car. You take out the engine block, you take out the transmission, you take out the brakes, and then eventually the tires, and then the steering wheel, and then the seats. And then eventually all you've got is the shell of the car, and it still looks like a, you know, a 57 Chevy. But then you replace the actual shell of the car with a brand new car. At what point is it no longer a 57 Chevy?
Yeah.
You've replaced the entire thing. It's a new car. Like video game engines are the same thing. Eventually, if you replace enough of the core components of the code, it's no longer the same code base. It's a completely different engine. And that's what they've been doing with the creation engine. That's why they're calling the new one for Starfield 2.0, is because at some point there's barely a shred of any code in there that's been left over from the original code base.
Yeah. Which actually, fun fact on that topic, relevant kind of, what's that, the boat, the USS Constitution, right? That's the boat from, so like I was fortunate enough to go to Boston in 2021 and I went on the USS, and they're like, oh yeah, it's like the oldest still sailing ship or whatever. And they're like, yeah, but like 93% of the wood has been replaced. So like, wait, what? That's like, that's like, count really still? Like, that's like the vast majority of the boat's new still.
Well, it still looks the same. It still looks the same shape, but it's not actually the same boat.
Yeah. And another thing, like, I think that's worth mentioning, or I think could be a factor in all this with Cyberpunk, is the people working on this aspect of the game when it comes to the update and the next gen version has been gradually declining. Like, they've been shifting based on their past two earnings calls, more and more people are being shifted to work on the expansions. So I wonder if that ends up having an impact, or if it doesn't, and like, this framework was kind of built out in the first half of 2021, and then now in the second half they're kind of adding on top of it. They don't need as much manpower necessarily, but I don't know, just another interesting factor in that.
That's a good question. And what is the boundary for expansion and base game? Like, do the expansions bring things like customizability? You know, because sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Is the expansion just story and new zones or whatever, you know, like,
like, is the police overhaul an expansion one,
right?
Or is it an update to the game? Like, how do they,
Define that, you know, how do you frame each of those pieces?
A year later, they've learned to drive their car.
That'll be the marketing thing, is that like, training in Zite City for the police officers has been revamped by the new chief of police.
That's like the trailer too. The trailer is just, you see this cop car door open and like a guy gets in, and then the trailer ends, you know, coming and in 22.
New chief of police, Chief Jones, is cracking down on crime. He's like hitting his like cyber baton in his like metal hand.
One of those awkward advertisements you always see driving around the city.
He's locking up some street kid up again, you know, putting him in the thing, and then he turns to the camera and goes, "Don't do drugs.
Don't kill lots of people.
don't murder. Don't be a murder hobo." Oh man. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of the show. Here's where I want to end it. I want to hear from you. What you want, like, in your perfect world, where does this game go in the next year, by like this time next year? Like, where is the state of the game starting 2023?
Starting 2023.
Yeah, in a year from now. Not this next expansion, but by the, like, if we were to get back together in January of 2023 and have this conversation again, what things would you be saying? Like, oh man, I'm so glad they released this year. Or I can't wait for the update in February when they're going to give us this thing. Like, and this could be like anything. Like, this could be as crazy as you want it, or it could be totally like, nah, this might be possible. Or this might be where the DLC is going. I think this might be a legit thing, or I hope it's going here. Like, what do you think?
I think like patch 1.5 will deliver. Like, I think people will, like, it'll do what it needs to do to get people excited about Cyberpunk again. And then I imagine throughout 2022, we get the DLCs, they'll do like more updates where they add in things like transmog, etc. But I think like all the big crazy stuff, like the first expansion, I think we'll this time next year, I imagine we'll know the release date and be excited because it's a few months away for the first expansion.
Okay, but, so you don't think we're going to see it at all this year? You think next year we'll be like, oh good, they're finally going to release the expansion in April.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Yeah. It'll be like before E3. So, well, E3 might be dead, but if E3 still around, it'll be before E3. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. I think we'll get like a gradual year. Like the big moment will be patch 1.5 and Q1. And then after that, I think it'll just be occasional feature additions, et cetera, et cetera, like with some of those updates, and the free DLCs will probably trickle out throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's what I could hope for. And like, you know how, ESO does their expansions. I feel like they have such a genius because they have like the whole story throughout the whole year. And then they usually end it on a shebang. And, I feel like if Cyberpunk could ideally by the 2 year mark have like, I don't know, I want to be hopeful and believe that that's when the expansion will drop. Like, I feel like they can't just relaunch, you know, it's only January still. And if they launch the 1.5, even in February or March, I feel like it's not like you can't just go another year. Like like you'll generate so much hype and then it's just going to come crashing down. And then the expansion will come out and people will be like, yeah, but you know, Starfield's out now, you know, why would I go back to revisit this old game that is bad? And you know, it won't be like the game's not even bad as it is right now, but I feel like it, you know, you get that, that face value at the beginning and people are going to roll with it for its lifetime, just like 76. So, I mean, if they ideally launch, you know, like you said, small trickles of DLC throughout the year, you know, maybe a little more than a car or a jacket, something more fun, something more playable. And then maybe by the end of 2022 launch an expansion. I'm hoping to see them put Seattle in the game. They teased Seattle. I'm like, I better see a Cyberpunk Seattle.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. A Cyberpunk Sky Needle.
Yeah.
With like laser beams shooting out of it at the sky.
And see, that's the fun city, right? That's where you go to do your part-time jobs.
Yeah. Man. Man, you got me thinking about like multiple things.
Multiplayer also. Like complete X factor. Like who knows? Maybe before the end of 20, now that's like they said they're gonna do this whole gradual addition. It's not gonna be like a big release. They're gonna graduate. Maybe multiplayer stuff starts coming this year.
Yes.
That could be just like maybe the expansions next year, but you could do like co-op or I don't know.
Hey, that'd
PvP,
be cool.
I don't know.
That'd be cool. Like,
heck, it'd be interesting.
Co-op through the story would be great. Even if it's even if there's just no dialogue for the second person, just being able to run around together with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. I mean, at least it's something, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I can't wait to see what they're going to do because I know there's stuff like they've been planning, you know, like they've got stuff in the works, but I think you're right. I think if it goes another year before we get any real significant content, they're up against Starfield. Starfield is like the 800-pound gorilla. You know, like, I mean, that's it's freaking Bethesda. Finally, after like a decade. Well, I mean, I guess Fallout 4 was the other big release, but it wasn't as big as Skyrim. Like this is their 7 years in development. Huge game. Sci-fi. Next gen only. Like Microsoft money marketing behemoth.
Oh, so excited.
You know, after a year that we got the end of like The Expanse TV show and like everybody's ready for a new space game that's going to be an awesome Bethesda RPG. Like we're all ready for it. We've all went back and bought out another version of Skyrim because we're all just ready for another Bethesda game to play. We're all just waiting. Right. And to do some sort of update after that comes out, like everyone's going to be like, yeah, I'll get to it after I'm done playing Starfield. And then like, you know, 1,000 hours later, maybe, you know,
10
like,
years.
Yeah, 10 years later, like that's tough. Not to mention 2 years of other games that have come out that are grabbing for our attention and everything else. It's a hard sell. It's a really hard sell.
Which even like you're making me think about it now, like we obviously don't really have any clue. Just Q1 is the next gen stuff and the patch, but like, Elden Ring is like going to be a super relevant factor if they wait to, or if they get to the end of Q1 that like, I imagine that would be like a lot of people that would have reinstalled might not if they're deep into Elden Ring
and Dying Light 2. Right.
Yeah.
Dying Light 2 is big
too. That one's huge.
Yeah. 500 hours they were talking about.
That's nuts. Yeah. The game is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, who has all the time to do this? Man. Yeah. Lots of stuff to get to. I'm excited about all these games. I know I'm going to be trying to play them and hopefully have a chance to talk with them, with our community and stuff. But guys, thank you for joining me on the show. This has been an awesome conversation. I know we have people in our chat asking like, hey, where do I follow these guys? Juicehead, where can people follow you? What are you doing? What's going on? What do you want to share about yourself?
I follow me on YouTube. You could just type in Juicehead and hopefully I'll pop up for sure.
Yeah, you do. You pop up. You're right at the top.
And I make Fallout content, Cyberpunk content. What else? Skyrim sometimes. As of late, Skyrim Anniversary Edition. But yeah, in the next few weeks, hopefully a bunch of top 10, top 20 mods of 2021 for Cyberpunk, Skyrim, Fallout, and any other game I could think of. But
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of my community is into modding and stuff, so I'm sure they'll go look you up. That's awesome. And Kev, how can people find you?
So you guys could like follow me on like MSN or whatever, like that'd be really cool. My YouTube channel is Kev Do It.
AOL chat.
I'm sure if you type it in, you know, Juiceheads might be above my channel, but it'll be right underneath it. And I just kind of create everything. I do dabble in Cyberpunk, especially when they do updates and stuff. But yeah, a lot of Fallout and Saints Row, Days Gone. There's anything that tickles my fancy. So, I also stream on Twitch here.
Yeah, Kev DeWitt and Juicehead, go look them both up. Drop them a sub. Tell them robots sent you. Little comments with a little funny smiley face or something. Guys, this has been awesome. Thanks for joining me, and we'll have to have you back on. And hey, maybe you can join me on some of the other shows because we all play the same game, so that would be awesome.
I mean, I think it would be fun. I mean, we might be all very deep into Starfield, but like what you said, mm-hmm. a year from now, looking back at what we predicted in this episode in 1 year on Cyberpunk, that could be super interesting.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. I'll put it back in the real noggin to try to schedule that in a year from now. But awesome stuff, guys. And you know where to reach me, robotsradio.net for all the different shows on the network. And of course, you can check out my shows. I'm streaming either podcasts or playing games every night of the week, except for Saturdays, on the Robots Radio YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and everywhere. And you guys know where to do that. So I will see you guys tomorrow night when we're going to do our Elder Scrolls Lorecast, which got pushed back from tonight. And our Elder Scrolls, we do this thing after the Elder Scrolls Lorecast where we all log in, we take off all of our gear and our weapons, we run around as a naked mob, and we try to complete all of the quests as a naked mob, which is hilarious because it's an MMO. So if you run around as an MMO and you see a bunch of naked people run by punching enemies to death, it's pretty silly. So join us tomorrow night. That'll be tomorrow. And until then, stay safe in Night City. I'll see you guys later. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hi, welcome to Three Count Thoughts. Let me introduce the crew real quick.
Hi, I'm Maverick Stone.
I'm Romer.
And I'm Jaxus. Join us as we talk all things wrestling. Each week, we'll take a topic from the wrestling world, knock it around a bit, and then go over the week in wrestling from a strictly fan perspective. We can be found on all major podcast catchers. We can also be found at Three Count Thoughts on both YouTube and Twitter. Or you can send us an email using 3countthoughts@gmail.com. Okay, are you ready?
Ring the bell.